Jacks Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Texas Republicans have approved a resolution to issue arrest warrants for state Democrats who didn't convene for the special session today, leaving the House without a quorum. Texas Democrats are protesting the redistricting of congressional maps that would give Republicans five new seats. But most Democrats have left Texas and are in Democratic-led states. Texas State Representative Mahala Plesha is in New York and accused Republicans of gerrymandering.
The fight isn't just about lines on a map. It's about lives on the line. That's why we're here. That's why we're fighting. It's about democracy.
The Texas governor can fine the state lawmakers each day they fail to show up for the special session. In the U.S., 39 fires now burning across 13 states, with new wildfires flaring up in California's Riverside County today. Another fire has charred more than 65,000 acres in the Los Padres Forest in Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties. On Wall Street, stocks closed higher today. This is ABC News.
That sound? It's your recycling at work. And you can thank a Wisconsin woman for making it happen. Millie Zantow saw a waste sorting system in Japan during a trip in the 1970s. She came home to Prairie du Sac in Sauk County inspired. Her research led to the triangle numbered plastic recycling system we still use today. So can you guess what percent of all the plastics produced in the United States ends up being recycled? 75%? 25%? Or 5%? The answer coming up. Zantow also helped with Wisconsin's recycling laws, along with the opening of one of the first collection centers. But now, are you surprised to learn the answer is just 5% of plastics are recycled? It's according to the group Beyond Plastic. Yet Zantow always believed you don't have to be perfect, you just have to start. There's a smart slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin has its first case of measles. In fact, the state now has nine. That was the big breaking news over the weekend. Alyssa Kay reports.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services and Oconto County Public Health have confirmed nine cases of measles in the county. One person returned from out-of-state travel and was found to be the common source for the eight additional cases. This was confirmed based on exposure and symptoms. DHS and Oconto County Public Health are working to identify and notify people who may have also been exposed to the measles virus. The risk to the community does remain low at this time. However, measles is a highly contagious disease that can be spread from person to person through the air. While these cases are in Oconto County, north of Green Bay, this is the first confirmed instance of measles virus cases in the state this year. Unvaccinated individuals have a 90% chance of catching the virus if they come in contact with a contagious person.
There have been more than 1,300 confirmed cases of measles so far this year across the country, and Wisconsin has one of the lowest vaccination rates for kindergartners in the U.S.
It's the Brewers and the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's been 60 years since the Milwaukee Braves played their final game at County Stadium and moved to Atlanta. 5 years later, the Seattle Pilots became the Milwaukee Brewers. Tonight, it's the Brewers and the Braves in Atlanta. The crew still with the best record in baseball after sweeping the Nationals over the weekend. They won again yesterday, 14-3. Manager Pat Murphy says it starts with a veteran like Christian Yelich leading the way.
It starts with Yelich when your top experienced offensive player is on base five times. That sets the tone for everyone else.
NFL, the Packers had some standout players on defense on family night, including big number 93 defensive lineman Nazir Stackhouse, who says he already knew about a half a dozen Packers players from his time in Georgia.
Just me knowing some of the guys on the team, Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker, John Fitzpatrick, Nyko Harmon, Javon Buller. You know what I mean? Just me knowing those guys made me feel comfortable coming here.
That's Nazir Stackhouse with Sports On Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, slight shower chance, lows upper 50s to 60. And hazy sunshine for tomorrow, clouds mixed at times, high in the low 80s. Chance of showers and storms Wednesday. Warms up a little more and more humid, highs in the mid 80s. Currently at 79.
The John and Gordy Show.
Beef has always
been expensive. I've never been able to buy beef. Never.
The last couple of years.
Just ground beef, maybe. That's it. And every once in a while, I promise my kids, who are Gen Zers, that one day they will taste beef. I'll treat them to some beef one of these days.
Yeah, once a year, you bring out the grill and get some hamburgers going.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll discuss the Trump tariffs. They're off, they're on, they're up, they're down. But what does it mean to us in Wisconsin? We'll be joined by Wisconsin business owner Kyle LaFond on that and also PBS.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, folks. I am Pete Schwabba. It is great to have you with me. It is finally Monday. We're back on the air doing Nightlight, talking about all the things that get our juices flowing and make us hit the ground running in the morning. Movies, TV, comedy, music, some fun Wisconsin festivals, and lots going on. It's a great night here at Nightlight. Glad you're here. We have a great show tonight, folks. It is a beautiful night in Green Bay. I hope it's beautiful where you are, and I hope you had a great day. Conrad, do you have a 5-day forecast you could throw at us just so people listening know we're not just we're doing indulgent things like talking about show business. Like, what's the weather like around the state?
It's pretty nice.
Sweet. All right. We'll be right back after this. That's Conrad Krieger, folks. He's working the board and did you have a good weekend?
Yeah. I mean, basically all I did was sit at home. I cleaned a little bit.
Okay.
I golfed and I went and saw Naked Gun.
Yeah. What was funnier, you golfing or seeing Naked Gun?
Naked Gun.
I know you're a pretty good golfer, actually. So.
No, I had some pretty comedic shots, but, you know.
Yeah. I saw Naked Gun, as you know, today. I came down to Green Bay early to catch the film. We'll talk about that in just a couple minutes. We both have kind of a review of the film. I know you had a harrowing issue. I talk often about my drive down from Marinette to Green Bay on a daily basis. And there's always some knucklehead doing something that makes me want to talk about bad drivers or clueless drivers. But you had kind of a scary thing happen to you.
Yeah, I did. You know, last week after the show on Friday, I didn't take my usual way home. I needed to go to a festival. And on my way down the road, it was 35. All of a sudden, I see someone right on my butt. Bumper to bumper, almost. And I have my music blaring.
Maddening.
And also I hear some beeps and I'm like, is this part of the song? So I turn it down and then this guy just keeps honking at me. I'm like, what's going on?
Is that part of the song?
I get to the stoplight and as soon as it turns green, not a second after it, the guy honks at me.
Wow.
So I'm going 40. I'm like, I'm not going slow. And then he passes me. It's a 2-lane. Not on the correct way he's supposed to pass me. He goes into oncoming traffic and passes me.
And where in Green Bay is this?
That was, you know, I think on Main. Just right, if you just keep going down the strip towards Festival. And he passes me and we get to another stoplight. I stop behind it. I see two, like, I don't even know. They're two modified cars that the mufflers, you know. You can hear
really
them down
loud.
The street.
We deal with that all the time here.
There used to be racing on the street.
Yep.
I found myself in the middle of like an illegal race in Green Bay.
And the guy was trying to get around you to race this other idiot.
Yep.
So let me ask you this. Did you join the race with your 12-year-old Mercury? You could have smoked him. How sweet would that have been?
They were probably going about 70 on that 35. So I think I'm good.
Oh, my God. It really makes me mad.
You know, it's like if he just waited a second, he could have gone around the right way to pass me, but
to go
he
70.
Wanted to win. He wanted to win.
Here's the other thing. They could have not drag race right in the middle of town either.
Right? Like
go to the country.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it's more fun like that. Weaving out of traffic, I guess, for
and risking everybody else's life.
Yeah.
Honestly, you could drive 10 minutes and you're in the country and go down some country road and crack up your own car. I'm glad you're okay, buddy.
Yeah, it's...
Did you flash him the brights?
I should
flip them off.
They actually they did flash their lights at me too while honking.
I mean, it just takes guts, you know, like to behave like that when you're driving.
You know, I wanted to give him the magic bird.
Yeah,
but I didn't know what I was dealing with, so I just kept going.
Well, listen, you're smart not to do that.
Yeah,
it's not like I used to do that sometimes, like 25 years ago. I sure as hell wouldn't do it now.
No, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go grocery shop.
Yeah, you don't know. I mean, I own tons of guns, but I don't keep one in my car when I'm driving. That's my issue. So I wouldn't flip them off either. Well, that worked out all right. I drove down here early because I wanted to get down here today so I could see the naked gun. It's the first, not first, and I'm sure someone will point out there's been another big comedy in the theaters semi-recently, but this is notable because it's a comedy. It's on the big screen. It's not going right to Netflix like Happy Gilmore 2. Or even kind of Friendship. I guess Friendship did spend a little bit of time in the theaters. But The Naked Gun was highly anticipated. A reboot, if you will. Not necessarily a remake, but a reboot of The Naked Gun from the 90s. And Liam Neeson stepped into the Leslie Nielsen role. And I don't know. Here, my overall thoughts about the movie... It's like an hour and 10 minutes long. It's like barely feature length. You could argue it's not really feature length. It was strange. And like the credits went on for like 15 minutes. So at the end of the day, it was probably an hour and 20, hour and 25 minutes. But the movie itself, I bet 70 minutes, an hour and 10 minutes maybe. So, and I know... You messaged me over the weekend and you said there were big laughs throughout. There were some big laughs. It got a 90% on Rotten Tomato. I love the original Naked Guns with the Wisconsin native Zucker Brothers and Pat Proft and the films they made. Airplane, Hot Shots, Naked Gun, all masterpieces. So I'm using that as the bar is high. Having said that, this film does have some big laughs.
And like you said, I mean, I don't know if you mentioned it, but in your theater you went to, you said there was only one other person.
It's one other person. It was a woman who was about 70. I almost went and sat next to her just so we could have the shared experience, but she probably would have freaked out. And I don't, and that might have had something to do with it, but I've been around comedy enough where I know, and here's the thing, like Liam Neeson was pretty good, but he's not Leslie Nielsen. Like, he's a little miscast in the sense that he's just like this ass kicker playing this funny role now, and he's got chops. He's a great actor. And I know that, you know, they put Pamela Anderson in the Priscilla Presley role, and is it Priscilla? Who's
I don't think it's Priscilla.
Priscilla's the daughter, right?
You know,
no, Priscilla's was Elvis's wife.
You know what I think was,
yeah,
like it was a weird start to that movie when he is dressed up as like a 7-year-old girl.
That actually made me laugh. I knew that was coming, though.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was pretty... He pulls the mask off like in Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
He's like a 9-year-old Girl Scout selling cookies, and then all of a sudden, then he rises up, and he's like 6'5", Liam Neeson. So there were some good laughs. I wouldn't tell you not to go. I just didn't think... After like 30 minutes, I was kind of like, this is all the longer this needed to be. You know,
you
liked it better than I did.
I really liked the comedy in it.
Yeah.
And I looked up the runtime of the original Naked Gun, and it was an hour and 35, and so was this one.
This
so
was not an hour and 35. There's no way.
That's what it said on the internet, and you got to believe everything that's on the internet. So.
Yeah, but not bad. I mean, I wouldn't tell you not to go see it. I mean, and especially if you go to the theater, and that's how you should see it. ideally with a crowded theater, at, you know, 3:20 on a Monday afternoon at Marcus East here in Green Bay. There was not a huge, and I spilled cheese on my shirt, which I felt like a real hillbilly.
You know, I went on Saturday at 2:30. There was like 12 people in there, and every single, it felt like it was a bigger crowd because the laughs that were had in that theater.
Oh, really?
Everyone was just dying laughing with the scene when the guy was with the binoculars, you know.
That is a great, and it's right out of the Zucker Brothers playbook. It's so great, and they keep going with it and escalating it, like where there's a dog and his crotch, or, you know, you think the dog is biting his crotch, and they show you what's really happening. Very funny stuff. But I would give it out of 5. I'd probably give it a 2.5, maybe 3 stars. I don't know. What do you give it?
I'd probably be around there, too. Like, the story was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But the comedy was hilarious. So it's a mix for me.
Yeah. No, I would agree. And I don't. And Danny Houston, who is, I believe, John Houston's son, he's good as the bad guy, but he gets cast as the bad guy all the time. And he's probably made a pretty good living doing it. But I don't need to see that guy again.
I think Hugh McDonald should have played that.
Who's that?
Oh, I think I said his name wrong.
Chris McDonald?
The guy we were talking about last week who doesn't kiss anyone else.
Oh, Neil McDonough.
So I said the wrong name. I don't know where I got that, but
this says Naked Gun is 85 minutes. There's absolutely no way. I bet 70 minutes, 15 minutes, and the credits took forever. So,
well, yeah, the credits, there was like a scene in the credits.
Right. And it's interesting, Jim Abrahams, he gets writing credit, though, because of the TV show The Police Squad, which is what it's from. He didn't work in this, and he just passed away like a year ago. The Zucker Brothers got credit for writing, just for characters. Apparently, David Zucker, a good Wisconsin native son, he and his brother Jerry, who I believe both went to UW-Madison, David said he doesn't want to see it. He wishes them well. He's glad comedy is back in the theater, but he said he doesn't want to see the film. And having said, it's not like he has ill will, although it did say in the article I read in the Hollywood Reporter that he did have a script where there's the son of Drebin, who's like in his 30s, and the studio never made it. So this is kind of similar to that. But that was interesting, I thought. And my guess is that he's going to take a peek at it at some point.
You know, I really did appreciate that we got to see a comedy film like this, because I feel like it's been a long time.
In the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why I appreciated it so much when I was in it.
Totally with you. And I'm hoping it, and it has. It made $17 million its opening weekend, another like 15 overseas. It'll make money. But, and without big comedy names in it, Kevin James, Sandler, Steve Martin, whomever, like there's just, it's Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson, and there's like nobody else. Like Danny Houston works a lot, you know, but there's no other huge names, no comedy names. You know, yeah, you don't
I forget who was, I can't think of the guy's actual name, but the guy who plays his partner.
Yeah.
That guy's hilarious.
He's very funny.
In every role he has been in.
Yeah, who is that
he's
guy?
So funny. He's in Cobra Kai.
Oh, yeah.
And he plays like a 35-year-old that just likes to hang with like 18-year-olds. Like he wants to be young again, but he can't.
All right. So if you've seen Naked Gun, folks, feel free to share your thoughts on the movie with us. Phone lines are open. Text line is open. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And without further ado, let's go to the Nightlight question of the night.
Talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, this is perfect. It is National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. Who makes the best chocolate chip cookies? This is a fun question. If for nothing else, you just get to think about chocolate chip cookies. Maybe, possibly the most famous dessert ever. It's National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, folks. Who makes the best chocolate chip cookies? I'm going to go first. I'm going to say proudly, Mrs. Fields, even though she's not around. Or her company isn't around anymore. I used to love
those little cookies.
Mrs. Fields cookies. Well, they had little ones, but the big ones, too. They had the milk chocolate were great, and then the dark chocolate were great, too.
I got to go with Uncle Mike's.
Uncle Mike's Bakery chocolate chip cookies?
Those are so good.
Okay. I thought all they sold was
they sell
Kringle that
everything.
Weighs 12 pounds.
They sell everything you could imagine.
All right, let us know, folks. Who makes the best chocolate chip cookie? That's tonight's Nightlight Question of the Week. Weigh in on Naked Gun if you want. Or whatever you're watching, let us know. Be part of the show and we'll read your text on the radio. We're coming back to read some texts. And I'm going to tell a funny story, too. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts. So we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road. Plus IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
I'm hungry. What's cooking?
Oh, no, not me. It's your turn.
Oh, we're back to taking turns?
Yes.
Well, how about Sugar River Pizza?
Oh, yeah, now they can cook.
I could really go for some of that 12-hour smoked pulled pork.
Ooh, and some pasta. Mm. Okay, now I'm hungry. Sugar River, here we come.
And they have that great kids menu, too.
We don't have any kids.
Right. That's beside the point. The point is, I'm hungry.
You're hungry. Let's go.
Yes. And we should talk about having some kids.
Get in the car, Bob. Sugar River, Sun Prairie, Verona, New Glarus, and catering.
Progressive's teen driver discount could lower the cost of insurance for your teenager and save you some money. And then you can still spend money on them. Because just when you think you have a grasp on spending, new sneakers! And then it's money for a school field trip, and of course, spending money. Oh yeah, and a new phone to replace the one they dropped in the toilet. Oh, don't remind me. So just get Progressive's teen driver discount. And then you can continue to spend money on them. Endlessly.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Discount not available in all states and subject to terms and conditions.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking. The list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary and even deadly. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh, you've been on a fast train, and it's going off the rail, and you can't come back, can't come back again.
Great to have you with me. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network on your Monday night here. We're talking about all things show business and entertainment and fun, like we do every night, whether it's Conrad getting into a reluctant drag race, me watching the much-anticipated comedy with one other person in the theater who was easily 70 years old. I give her credit, though. Like, that's cool. She went to see a movie in the middle of the day. I don't mean to, like, you know, denigrate her for any reason. So this was kind of funny. By the way, Dylan and Cole Sprouse, birthday, big birthday. You grew up watching them, right?
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of that show?
Big time Sweet Life of Zach and Cody fan.
Yeah.
I'd watch it almost every day, I feel like.
Yeah.
And
they were huge.
I watched Sweet Life on Deck as well, all the movies that they had.
Oh, that's Sweet Life on Deck. That was the one, if my son wanted to watch that, I'd go, please no. Please pick Toy Story. Please pick Toy Story.
No, it was so good. I like Mr. Mosby.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mr.
Bill
Mosby.
Lewis.
Here's what I find interesting. Even though Cole and Dylan are twins,
yeah,
most people don't know this. They were also born at the same time.
Oh.
So anyhow, do you know we had a big release last week that we missed, too? The Wiggles. Did you ever watch The Wiggles? Fruit salad? Come on.
I don't know if I did or
God,
not.
The Wiggles are awesome. They were this down under Australian group. And they just sang and they had happy faces and these five white dudes driving around in a Wiggles car. And I have to tell you, somebody scored me some sweet Wiggles tickets at the Universal Amphitheater. So I thought, I'm going to take Joe, my son, who's probably like, I don't know, six at the time. So it's one of those things. I'm like, all right, well, this will be fun. We're going to see the Wiggles live, you know, with 3,000 other people. And it was like a mile from our house. So it was great. We parked. We're in there. And the anticipation. I've been to a few big rock concerts. When the lights went down and kids yelled for the Wiggles, I couldn't believe it. And then this screen opened up and they show the Wiggles. I think I've told this story before on the show, but a long time ago. They show the Wiggles getting off the plane and landing in L.A., and then they show them walking through the airport and kids are cheering and their parents, you know, are all just kind of like tolerating it, whatever. They show the Wiggles getting into a car at LAX, their little Wiggle mobile. It's a convertible and they all four of these guys fit. They show them on the 405 freeway getting off at North Hollywood into Universal City. And then they show them pulling into the concert hall and then they drive on stage. I was going as crazy as the kids. It was like the coolest thing ever. I don't know who made that video. But it was fantastic. I think my son, Joe, was even giving me some looks like, Dad, will you please calm down? I'm with my peers here. Just relax. This isn't Springsteen. Calm down.
You know what? ESPN does that too.
What do you mean?
Anytime there's a big game, you see Aaron Rodgers going down the tunnel.
Oh, yeah. It was that same kind of thing. Yeah, it's like except that. They started at the airport. Like it was like the Badgers when they leave the locker room.
Yeah.
They show them walking on the side. Then they go down the tunnel. It was like this. The buildup was insane.
That's some good concert stuff right there. I wish I could have been there.
It's great promotion. I'm sure you were there in spirit. Hey, we got a text overnight, didn't we?
No, I reread it. And
it's not for us?
Well, it's in a different language, and it was a voice note. So.
Oh, okay. Do we have fans overseas?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Green Bay is we broadcast from Green Bay most nights, and this is a nationally recognized, place.
Yeah.
Thanks to the Packers.
The Green Bay Packers.
We've got our question of the night, folks, is it's National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. We knew this day was coming. What is your favorite? Who makes the best chocolate chip cookies? I say Mrs. Fields. I don't think you can maybe buy Mrs. Fields in the grocery store, like to make at home, but those stores aren't in the mall anymore. They're replaced by like Wetzel's Pretzels or some lame.
Wetzel's Pretzels sucks.
Why would you get I can't believe a pretzel novelty place is making it at the mall.
You know what? I like. I like when they have Cinnabon.
Oh, Cinnabon's dynamite. Yeah.
Yeah. That's. What about Auntie Anne's though?
Is that a pretzel place too?
Yeah.
That's way too many pretzel places. And here's the other thing. Can we please be done with cookie dough? Why is cookie dough in everything now? Cookie dough mint chocolate chip, cookie dough chocolate chip. Cookie dough is like, it was fun when you were a kid and actually ate the cookie dough. But in ice cream, it's just a weird, it's like an interruption.
For
the gorgeous texture that is cold cream ice cream. And then, and here's this uncooked egg and whatever it is. It's terrible.
Yeah, I saw, when I went to the store, when I was in a drag race and went to festival, I saw that they had edible cookie dough still like on the shelves pretty much. And it was like a big container.
Yeah.
And it was like, I think it was like $9. You got like five of them. I'm like, who buys that?
That's weird. I don't get it. It's in way too much ice cream. Oh, and then that's like a deterrent for me. It's like, there's a fudge ribbon swirl. Awesome. Vanilla ice cream. Great. Peanut butter cups. Great. Nuts. Awesome. Cookie dough. Barf. Must be popular, though, because they put it in everything. So here's the other thing, folks. Let us know what your favorite chocolate chip cookie is. I said Mrs. Fields. Conrad said Uncle Mike's. Amanda Nimmer, part of our Civic Media family, says the cookie crate, hands down. Have you heard of that?
I haven't, but I'd like to try that. That sounds amazing.
If Amanda likes it, she's got pretty good taste. Paul Vandenplas from Wonderfully Wisconsin, give him a follow. Great follow. He says the best I've had so far are from Caramel Crisp Cafe in Oshkosh. Well, he would know.
Yes,
he would. This guy travels the state looking for good eats, and he finds a lot of them. So if he says Caramel Crisp Cafe in Oshkosh, it's probably worth a checkout. He says their cookies are so good, you'll dream about them. Now, that's weird. Honorable mention is Blue Mike's Gas Station in Rosendale. They have a bakery inside, and the cookies are made fresh and quite outstanding. Paul, that is good to know.
Yeah.
It's nice, too, because it's in Rosendale, so you can get a ticket, pull over.
Watch your speed.
Have a cookie and just kind of chill out before you count to 10 and get back on the road. All right, coming up next, Alan Kopischke is here, folks. He is an actor and one of the producers of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, and that is right around the corner. He'll be in studio. That's coming up next after the news. It's Pete Schwalbe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tom Harbin here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The UW-Madison Arboretum had to be shut down for a bit today because someone found an inactive grenade there. An alert first went out to the campus community at about 10 o'clock. It said UWPD was on the scene of an active incident on the east side of the Arboretum and asked people to avoid the area. Now, a UWPD spokesperson says someone saw the grenade on top of a railing and called police. They brought in the Dane County Sheriff's Office Hazardous Devices Unit. They found that it was an empty training grenade. UWPD spokesperson Mark Levicott says they think somebody found it and just didn't really know what to do with it, so they left it there for someone else to deal with. Someone could keep something like that as a memento of military training. If you ever find something similar and think it may not be safe, authorities say call police. Meanwhile, Wisconsin has a new state Supreme Court justice. Shally Pittman takes us to her swearing in.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Justice Susan Crawford.
It's official. Susan Crawford is now a justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Crawford was sworn in last Friday at the state capitol. Friday's ceremony included remarks from past colleagues, including Judge Everett Mitchell and former Governor Jim Doyle, under whom Crawford served as chief legal counsel. Now Justice Crawford's swearing in begins her 10-year term on the court. Crawford was sworn in by Chief Justice Jill Karofsky. She's taken the seat left by outgoing Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, who had her own celebration at the Capitol in June. Crawford's win in April over former Attorney General Brad Schimmel bolstered the court's liberal majority. The race was a repeat of 2023. It smashed spending records for any state Supreme Court race across the nation. For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman.
And I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwalbe. Pamela Anderson has been married 5 times. Once to Tommy Lee, once to Robbie Ritchie, also known as Kid Rock, twice to a professional poker player, and only 1 time to some guy named Dan. She must love marriage. One of the few men she did not marry was former Superman actor Dean Cain. Last week, Cain said he and Anderson's relationship fizzled for one reason. I know what you're thinking. It's because she was too busy getting married to other men. But no. But Cain says that's not why. He says things didn't last because he was never into life in the fast lane, and Anderson was. That, along with the fact that she got married every other week, was probably a hindrance. Cain did have a lot of good things to say about Anderson. Pamela Anderson has revived her career and has gotten serious about the craft of acting. She received rave reviews for Showgirl and currently stars in The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson. They were, quote, caught, end quote, on the set of The Tonight Show, making out. Yes, the two are dating, unless they've already married by the time of this airing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwalbe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, slight shower chance, lows upper 50s to 60. And hazy sunshine for tomorrow, clouds mixed at times, high in the low 80s. Chance of showers and storms Wednesday. Warms up a little more and more humid, highs in the mid 80s. Currently at 79.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our Tuesday show, it's Animal Day with John and Gordy. We'll talk to the Dane County Humane Society about fundraising and Serenity Pet Spa with Liz Johnson.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Left my heart in San Francisco.
That's what I'm talking about. So Tony Bennett, it's his birthday today. Or is it the anniversary of his death? I can't remember why. I can't remember why I had you pull that song.
It's just because it's a celebration. Cool tune?
Yeah, it's a great tune. All right. So our question of the day, folks, it's National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. Who makes the best chocolate chip cookie? I say Mrs. Fields. She is no longer, at least not in malls anymore, but I think you can still buy the cookie dough. Maybe mail order or something. I don't know if that's the best way to buy cookie dough. And Conrad says Uncle Mike's. So we'll read some of your texts in a little bit, but send those my way and we'll read them on the radio. And if you're watching the radio on the stream, we got a couple of comments there. You can comment there as well. Just be part of the show. It's always more fun when you guys are part of the show. Coming up in the second hour, Kaylin Bavink, the owner of the bookstore in Appleton, will be here at 7:35. We're going to talk about her really cool bookstore, which I'm told is a destination bookstore. And I just think it's cool that there's a destination bookstore because I didn't think people even read anymore. So this is exciting to talk books in hour two as well. But right now, I'm excited to welcome my next guest. He's joining me here in the studio, and he is a well-known actor, and he is the producer of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival. He joins us here in the studio, Alan Kapishke. Hey, Alan, how are you?
Doing great.
How am I saying your last name right?
Kapishke.
Kapishke. Yeah, I thought Kusintai. So. You put it very phonetically perfectly in the email. So,
okay.
But I always tend to, and my last name is Schwab and everybody tortures it. So I thought if I do massacre your name, I'll just say it happens all the time to me. But Kapishke, that's a good actor name. Alan Kapishke, right?
You think so?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, welcome to Nightlight. It's good to meet you. And like I was saying during the break, I feel like at some point in our adult lives, our paths have crossed.
Yeah,
I can't place it.
I feel that too.
But it's good to have you here, and now we're friends either way. So, and you told me you live in Fish Creek.
Right.
How do you get to be, there's some people in life, Alan, that just win the lottery. They get to do what they love and live in a picturesque town that is the subject of many beautiful paintings. How did you swing that?
I don't know. I must have done something right in a previous lifetime. I don't know.
Tell us, before we get into the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, which sounds really cool, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, sure. Well, as you mentioned, I'm an actor. I've been doing theater since I was 8 years old. Wow. I love it. And like you say, I get to do what I love. Now, it's meant sometimes breaks from doing that.
Yeah.
It is my life's passion. I have a great family. My wife is a costume designer and professor at Lawrence. She's terrific.
Wow.
And we're going on our 40th anniversary trip, leaving Wednesday.
You said that in the email, and now you're sitting here. You don't seem you must. Did you marry? I'm not trying to just blow smoke because you drove all the way here.
Oh, she totally robbed the cradle. Yeah. No.
So, all right. Well, that's great. So you live in Fish Creek, and she commutes to Appleton?
She does, yeah.
And it's
she'll usually stay 2 or 3 nights a week, depending on the schedule. And, yeah.
Do you find that there are other actors that live in Door County? Or I know there are artists there, but do you have a little community there?
You know what's interesting is when we moved up there in 2007, I don't think there was anybody else who was like a working actor up there. Now there are probably 10 of us, I think.
No kidding.
Who are, semi-retired or based there and working elsewhere a lot. So there are a bunch of us up there now.
That's pretty cool. It's nice because I live where I live and hanging around comedians my whole adult life or comedy writers. When I moved to Marinette several years ago, there's no comedy writers there. There's no comedian. There's very nice people and I have good friends, but I do miss that, you know, to be able to connect and
being
just talk
in community with.
Yeah. And just not having to start anywhere. You're just there already, you know, when you talk and that kind of thing. So I want to talk about the festival, but I'm also, we talked a little bit before you, before I introduced you about being at Peninsula Players. And I told you my connection to Peninsula Players when I was in high school. And I took my daughter there to see a show a couple years ago. We saw a Sherlock Holmes show and we saw Dames at Sea. And it's changed a lot in the last 35 years. Are you still involved with Peninsula Players?
I am somewhat. My wife still designs there quite a bit.
Okay.
I acted there for, I can't remember, maybe about 6 to 8 seasons in the 80s and 90s. And then they hired me in 2007. That's how we were able to move up to Door County. They hired me to be their development director, finish off a capital campaign, and to start developing some off-season programming. So we did a community read in collaboration with the library, and we started doing play readings. And
that's so cool. It's an institution, and I know there's another theater there I don't know as much about, but I've heard good things about that as well. It's just
there
so
are
much.
Four professional theater companies
really
in Door County. There's Northern Sky Theater, there's Third Avenue Playworks, and there's Door Shakespeare.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And they're all seasonal, right? I mean,
Third Avenue Playworks works most of the year. The other three are seasonal.
That's pretty cool. All right, so let's get into, I've got a lot of stuff to ask you, but let's start with the Door Kinetic Arts Festival. That was the main reason I reached out to you. Mm-hmm. Tell us all about it.
Sure. So we're in our 9th year. Eric Simonson is a multi-talented director, writer for theater, opera, film, television. He's got an Oscar for a short documentary that he did a number of years ago. Wow. He's written on a number of major television shows, as well as writing and directing on Broadway. So he's got tons of connections and he's got a ton of energy. And what he wanted to do was bring together artists from different disciplines to Bjorklunden, which is in Bailey's Harbor. And it is an extension of Lawrence University in Appleton. And it's this gorgeous setting where they bring faculty and students all the time for retreats. And Eric wanted to bring artists from all over the country and from the local area together for a week. People who have new projects that they want to work on. And so here we all are surrounded by other artists, other disciplines, inspiring each other, working together, and then presenting that work in progress for audiences. And chat with the audiences afterwards to get a little peek inside the process.
Like some feedback, too? Is it that kind of thing where the audiences can, like, share their 2 cents about what they saw? Because since you said it's in progress.
Yeah, and so then that's part of what the artists are looking for is feedback from the audience. Not only during the presentation of the work, the natural feedback that people are going to give, but then afterwards to say, hey, you know, what stood out to you? What worked for you? What were you confused about?
That's interesting. So is it all acting? Is it all?
No. Okay. No. So the reason it's the Kinetic Arts Festival is because we talked about the kinetic arts. And this would include dance and film and theater. And now we've brought kinetic sculpture and music and circus and magic, all sorts of different things. And so all these different kinds of artists bouncing off of each other is really exciting.
What about juggling? I didn't hear juggling.
Well, circus. Yeah, we did have jugglers.
Yeah, I'm making a joke and you actually have it. All right.
And the year before.
So it really is an arts festival. That's the one thing I was eager to ask you about. What is Bjorklunden? Is that a venue? I was looking at that.
This beautiful space. I don't even know how many acres it is, right on the lake. And there's an old tiny chapel there and a lodge that it's a retreat space. Okay. So Lawrence will bring students in over the weekend for intensive sessions. And this might be, you know, the volleyball team, or it might be the band, or a whole bunch of engineers, whatever it might be, and they can come and do intensive sessions with not only their professors, but other people they might bring in for weekend intensive sessions. And I say intensive, it's also relaxation and inspiration, because you can walk along the lake. There are beautiful wooded trails. It's an incredible place. And then in the summer, they'll bring in people for a full week to do seminars with very often Lawrence alumni or Lawrence professors, but occasionally something a little outside of that as well. And they're extremely well attended. A lot of the people can stay there because there's lodging there, the same lodging the students use. And so it's this incredible kind of intellectual, artistic retreat space. And so we're able to get our week in there and get all of these artists in and just kind of make sparks fly.
That is the voice of Alan Kapischke. He is an actor and one of the producers of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, which takes place in September. So is that hard to program? Because, you know, like with a film festival, it's like, well, you know, here's the film. You like it or you don't. But you've got people in different stages of something they've created. You know, I would imagine you have to go, well, this isn't far enough along, or this is too finished. It's not really workshoppy. Like, what do you look for?
Yeah. So, and that's Eric's responsibility. He's the artistic director and the founder, creator of this whole thing. But yeah, he's got to balance. We want some things that are closer to done, so that we have some things to maybe show off earlier in the week. And then, you know, we want a range of middle of the process, towards the end of the process, towards the beginning of the process, so that there's that dynamic playing as well.
Do you do film, or is it all
we
live?
Do. Oh, no yeah, kidding. So we have a short film festival. I know Green Bay's got a great film festival. There's a Door County Film Festival that's like a full weekend, including feature length and shorter films. Ours is just a selection of short films, that no longer than 40 minutes. And some of them we'll put up the first couple nights, and then maybe we'll sprinkle a few out that really relate to one of the sessions that we're developing during the week.
Right. That's cool. Do you have people, I would imagine everybody, I mean, I have a script I'm trying to stage a reading for. My son wrote something, like, you're always trying to find people to perform stuff so you can see what it looks like or listen to it. Do you have people that are kind of more established in the business that would love to come up here to beautiful Fish Creek and do something like that, or show their film, or write songs and perform them? I mean,
sure. We've had some pretty high profile people come. Now, you're not going to recognize all the names, but a lot of people recognize Rainn Wilson,
who
was Dwight on The Office.
Oh, he's great.
He had a screenplay that he was working on with Eric, and brought that up and we worked on it. We've had other folks. I don't know if you're going to recognize their names, but we have Tony winners, Emmy winners. So one of our projects this year is a collaboration with Deaf West Theater, which has won a couple of Tony Awards for their work, and a play written by Rick Cleveland, who's won an Emmy for his writing. He's both a playwright and writes in Hollywood, but he wrote on The West Wing and Six Feet Under and half a dozen other shows you would probably recognize.
Right.
He's got an Emmy for one of those. I forget which one.
Yeah.
And so he's coming in, and we may have some relatively high-profile actors in that. That's not settled yet.
And I'm not saying that like, to get you to name drop or anything, but to let listeners know that if they go there and check this out, they're probably seeing some pretty good stuff. So check it out, you know. My guest is Alan Kapischke. He's an actor and the producer, one of the producers of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, which sounds more and more cool the more I talk to Alan about it. So we'll have more about that after this very short break, and we'll talk to him about some of the cool stuff he's done in his career as well. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Great to have you with me, folks, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Herbal Aspect has landed. That's right, Madison's go-to cannabis destination now has a brand new location in Sun Prairie.
Wait, four locations? That's a high level of convenience.
With three Madison locations and now Sun Prairie, a great cannabis experience is always close by. Our expert staff is here to help, whether you walk in, call, or order online. Mention Radio 420 and get a special discount. So stop by Herbal Aspect in Sun Prairie, because great cannabis isn't just a pipe dream.
Nice, I'm rolling over now.
Herbal Aspect.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Down, down, down. Come on! The twister,
we go out. Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Monday edition. It is finally Monday, folks. We get to talk about all the things we love at the beginning of a week that it looks like it's going to be beautiful here in Wisconsin. So settle in, gather the family around the radio, and let's have some fun. My guest at the moment is Alan Kopischke. He is an actor, and he is one of the producers and creators of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, which goes from September 21st through the 27th in Bailey's Harbor. It's the 9th annual Door Kinetic Arts Festival. You're rocking the t-shirt there, Alan, too. I like that. If you're watching in the stream, you can see Alan's t-shirt with, I like that. So whose concept was this? Like, I love that it's not so specialized, but it also seems like it would be harder to, like, you sent me all this information. I'm like, well, what do they do? They do some theater, like, it's kind of hard to explain a little bit. Yeah. It's not in a box, so to speak. So whose brainchild was this? And when did you guys think, hey, we got something cool here?
Yeah, so this is Eric Simonson, who I mentioned before, and he's had success in a number of different areas. You know, he's done theater, he's done opera, he's done film, he's done television.
My God, I hate guys like that.
he started out studying scenic design, and then he became an actor, and then he became a director, and then he became a writer. He's just really multi-talented, and I think he loves things coming from all different directions and kind of sparks that can fly when you bring together dancers and clowns and theater makers and poets and all these creative people who are all bursting with this thing they're working on. Bring them all together.
Yeah.
Let them work on their stuff and share a bit with each other. You know, eat every meal together, and you hear them talking about their work together, and they create these beautiful new things out of the different perspectives they bring and the energy that's flying around there. And I have to tell you, I can't count how many different collaborations we have nurtured up there by people who say, oh, you know what? We need a choreographer for this. Could you come in and work with us? Hey, we loved your work in this. Could you do this other thing with us? There are tons of people who've worked together at DCAF on different projects who then went on to work on something different later.
And that's such a great thing. When you have a community like that and you draw inspiration from other artists, that's got to – people leave probably feeling great. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like being around in that community. Do most of the people that attend the festival, are they from Door County? Do they travel there?
I'd say most of them are from Door County, okay. But there are a lot more and more folks traveling in. You know, as you said, it's kind of a hard thing for us to define in short little sound bites.
Yeah.
And so I think we have struggled a little bit with marketing. We also haven't had much of a marketing budget. But I think the more people get to know what this is, the more they say, oh, my God, we got to get there for this.
That's so great. All right. So this is your 9th annual. Is it growing? Like, are you seeing people more and more every year?
Oh, that's absolutely. So yeah. Yeah. I would say we are probably more than double the attendance we had. You know, we ramped up and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And we also changed dates. We skipped a year. And so we had to kind of start back up. But we're probably double the attendance of when we first came back from COVID.
All right. So if people want to check it, it's not till September. You got, well, about 6 weeks, actually. We're getting close. But can people buy passes or tickets right now, or where can they find out more information?
Yeah, those passes are available online on our website, doorkinetic.com, doorkinetic.com.
Okay. Oh, that's what's a pass going
to
run me?
So week-long passes, okay. So access to everything is $75.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And then if you want to do basically one day, it's $25.
So the pass is the way to go. What about food? I noticed you said you have a cocktail, daily cocktail or something. Can people eat and drink there and all that kind of fun stuff?
We don't sell anything to eat, but we give away a cocktail each night.
Booze.
And Robert Simonson, who is a James Beard nominated cocktails and spirits expert, he has written several books on cocktails. He wrote for the New York Times for many years.
Nice.
He's Eric's brother.
Okay.
And comes in and creates cocktails and talks about them, and we'll have a special session with him one afternoon as well.
Do you have parties afterwards? Like, are there, you know, like after Q&As, that kind of stuff?
We do the Q&As after, and on our Wednesday night, we have what we call the coffee house, which is a little bit of a speakeasy, have some fun, get up
that.
And dance,
yeah.
More of a party atmosphere on the Wednesday night.
Okay. All right, well, that's great. This sounds like so much fun, folks. Check it out, the Door Kinetic Arts Festival. Google it, go to the website, look at the passes. It sounds like just there's something for everybody, it sounds like.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
You still do teach at UWGB as well.
I do, yeah.
That kind of works out well. So you're in this area quite a bit, I would imagine. We talked a little bit about the program. They don't have a musical theater program, but it might be coming back, or it's on hold.
Well, the theater program was suspended. We still have a minor. We're still producing plays. And we are working on a revised major to bring back. I think we've got some pretty cool ideas about it. We need a little more time to develop it before we present it officially to administration. But I think
that's UWGB is like maybe the fastest growing of all the UW colleges, right?
It might be. I can't speak authoritatively about that. But yeah, we're doing pretty well.
It was weird because when I saw they cut I told you my daughter was interested in that program. All of a sudden it's gone. I'm like, wait, there's, and I don't ever want culture to go away from Northeast Wisconsin. Like, if you can never have too much of it, in my opinion. So I love that you're doing this. Can you stick around a little bit through the news? We can talk some acting and all that kind of fun stuff. I'll probably ask. I want to ask you about being an intimacy coordinator, too.
Sure.
Because Conrad wants some tips before the night's over. Right. Conrad just laughs. He's used to me. All right, we're coming right back, folks. Alan Kapiski is here. He is the one of the producers of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival and an accomplished actor. We'll talk to him about acting and his job as an intimacy coordinator. Kind of a new thing in show business.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll get into that. And we got Milwaukee Rep, Steppenwolf, all kinds of fun stuff coming up next, folks. We're coming right back on Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Democrats left Republican alone in the Texas Capitol, holding up a vote on new congressional districts that could seal a GOP majority in the 2026 midterms. Now they're bringing in law enforcement. ABC's Mireya Villarreal.
They are saying they are going to go after the Dems that have left the state and broken quorum. At this point, what they've done is issued a civil warrant for their arrest. Basically, he can use the power of what Texas has to hold, which is more than likely, you know, troopers, to help him locate some of the Dems that are either here in the state or have fled out of Texas to try and break quorum.
39 major wildfires are now burning in 13 states, including California. ABC's Ginger Z.
In California, hot, dry conditions fueling multiple major wildfires. The Gifford Fire north of Santa Barbara, which nearly tripled in size Saturday, now burning more than 100 square miles and still out of control. At least three people injured, one suffering serious burns.
This is ABC News.